Not the footy show. Show.
Welcome to the 2011 Grand Final. The Warriors up against Manly. Manly will kick from left to right on your radio dial. Let's get underway. And Daly Cherry Evans puts it deep. It's picked up by Aaron Herrenmayer, who dishes to Lilyman.
Oh, and he's met in a crunching tackle by Kyden Stewart. They've double-teamed him there.
They'll play the ball about 15 metres out from their own line. What an atmosphere here at ANZ Stadium. Sideline eye, DC Chapman, any late changes?
You're talking about late changes. The game's only just started.
Thank you, DC Chapman. He is as funny as a fart in a space suit, as per usual.
Okay, first scrum of the match. Manly, they've got a perfect opportunity about 10 metres out from the Warriors' line. Foran will feed the scrum.
Out comes GCE out of the back line. He spreads it right. Foran, onto Brett Shorty, runs at the line. He draws him, Hopewadi. He's there. He's over. He's put the ball down.
Hopewadi, the man on a mission, has the first try of the 2011 Grand Final. What a move. We'll go down to our sideline. Right. DC, how'd you see it?
Yeah, beautifully constructed try there from the Manly Seagulls. They've been threatening the whole game, and it's just beautiful to see. I think they're on today, the Seagulls.
Seventh minute, and the Manly Seagulls up 4-0. We'll have a look at the replay in just a few seconds. But Nick McInerney, this is what we've seen from Manly side all year.
Pass and draw. There it is. Stewart running at the line. Little inside ball. Runs him back behind him. Hopewadi takes on three defenders and crashes over. He can finish
great
a try.
Great footwork from Hopewadi. Just to squeeze through the defence. And Manly, they'll play from in front, Lauren Smith. Oh, there's a turnover by the Manly Seagulls. Gorgeous George drops the ball. After 25 minutes, it's 6 points to nil Manly. But here's a chance for the Warriors.
Hands like a digital watch there from Gorgeous George.
Madaleno plays the ball back to Kevin Locke.
Here he goes, he's running the line, he's going in behind the marker, he's through the flick pass to Maloney, oh the juggle, he's under the sticks, he puts the ball down.
Oh, Maloney's over, what a pass from
back
Kevin
in the
Locke.
Game.
We picked the lock, the key, the he's key, the lock, whatever it was, whatever the mixed metaphor and analogies we used earlier on, is an outstanding try. I believe with the flick pass, and what do I believe with the flick pass from Nick McInerney?
Every time there's a flick pass, there's a try.
There is, the flick pass, most underrated skill used in the game.
Definitely.
DC's giving me the green light. It's going to be 6 points all when Maloney puts this over. DC.
Yeah, beautifully put together by the two halves from the Warriors. This is a very important point here because everyone's been saying that it's going to be a battle of the halves, and it's turning out to be. So
Maloney has the opening try for the Warriors. He'll convert, and it'll be 6-all after 26 minutes. Manly on the attack. They're only 5 minutes out. It goes from Cherry Evans away to Rodney. Rodney will look for the pass to Jamie Lyon. Steps back inside. Shrugs one, shrugs two. Looks for Cherry Evans on the outside. Foran's in a gap. Oh, Nick McInerney!
What a flick pass. Brett Stewart has been put under the sticks. All he had to do was put the ball down. That is an amazing pass from, I think, Daly Cherry Evans.
No, it was Kieran Foran with the offload at the end. Evans put him in the gap. Kieran Foran just with an absolutely special pass.
Just
I think DC wants
around.
A chat from the sideline. DC?
Yeah, beautiful stuff from Foran. You see that every now and then, but in grand finals it's just extra special. Look, I'm having a look at the Warriors sideline here and the players on the bench, and they do look very, very nervous.
The heads are down in the Warriors camp. It's only 10 points to 6 at the moment, but this kick to come puts Manly up by 6, maybe going into half time. It's a big moment for the Manly Seagulls.
I think they're threatening to just hit their strides just now.
So Manly will bring the ball out from their own half, early stages of the second half.
Since the Beatles!
Ben Matulino has just hit Kieran Foran into next week! He's in another postcode. DC Chapman, how'd you see it from the sideline?
I didn't see it, I heard it. I wasn't watching, but I heard that smack from over here, mate, and it sounded bad.
Oh, it was a crunchy, it was a picnic. It was a snickers all in one. What a beautiful,
Somehow he's gotten
up
and he's back in the line. He's the toughest man out
there. Just waiting for a replay. It's been a mistake there by Manly, and the Warriors will get the ball from 20 metres out from their own try line. Let's have a look at that replay of that massive hit by Ben Matulino and Kieran Foran.
Here we go. He gets the ball. He looks up at the line. Offload. Crunch time.
Did you feel that one?
Oh.
Oh, DC, have you seen the replay?
I saw it on the big screen there, mate. It hurts just looking at it.
Kieran Foran, the soldier that he is, gets up, keeps playing. It's 12 points to 6, early stage of the second half. Is that what the Warriors needed to get back in the game?
Oh, heck yes. If that doesn't get you pumped up, wow, there's something wrong with you. That is a huge hit he's put on him, and I think the Warriors have come out and they mean business in this second half.
52nd minute, Manly. They're on the attack again, 20 metres out. Comes from Foran, goes to Stewart. Stewart away to Matai to Robertson. Oh, it's opened up like Sydney Heads.
Great backline.
Oh, terrible defence by Bill Tupu out on the right edge with Chris Ninu, and that could be the opening that Manly needed. They're up 16 points to 6. Kick to come. And there's only about 25 minutes left in the game, boys. Oh,
wow. Dave Chapman, is that the ball game?
I wouldn't say that's the ball game, but that was textbook stuff from Manly. Just draw and pass, a little shot out the back.
Great work from Brett Stewart. He just found his man, drew in the centre, gave it away to Maddie. Maddie probably hurt himself passing that ball, but he's given it away to Robertson, who in his farewell game for the Manly Seagulls puts him ahead 16 points to 6. We'll have a look at this conversion in just a few seconds.
Very important conversion to come.
So Jamie Lyon trying to convert from a left-hand touchline. 18 points to 6, and you'd be worrying about the Warriors' chances in this match. There's about 25 minutes left. Grass, or Piggy, or whatever you want to call him, he sets it up, he smooths in, right foot strikes the ball, and he has just missed the left-hand side.
Wow.
DC, wow. That decision, that miss by Jamie Lyon, could come back and haunt the Seagulls.
Leaves it wide open, doesn't it? Two converted tries, and there is still 25 minutes or so left in this
16
game.
Points to 6, Manly over the Warriors in the 2011 Grand Final. It comes away to Maloney. Maloney puts it nice and high in the air.
It's a skyscraper. Manly, coming down with snow.
Manly don't want to contest it. It's bounced once. Come to Johnson. Johnson gives it to Inu. Inu has scored.
Oh, magic thinking from Johnson. He's batted it onto Inu, who's crashed over in the corner.
There's just 15 minutes left. They're going upstairs to have a look at it, but Chris Inu might have the Warriors back within 6 points.
Oh, it's coming down.
Possibly
this
even
kick.
Four if he kicks the goal.
That's it.
Oh, let's have a look at this one. They've called for the video ref. Boys, I'll go down to DC in just a second, but Nick, this is something that we thought the Warriors might do during the entire match. They might bomb the left-hand, right-hand side of the Manly Seagulls. And Manly, what's going through their mind? They've only got a 10-point lead. What are you letting the ball bounce for?
I think that some of the players have just switched off. They've got a bit complacent. They haven't had to deal with many bombs tonight. And it's just indecision, really. Here we see the slow motion. He has absolutely
let it rip. They're all onside. They're fine. They're all onside.
Kickers are fine. He has smashed that up. It's up in the air for a good couple of seconds. And the Manly players get there with plenty of time, but Papawade
doesn't contest the ball. Brett Stewart doesn't contest the ball.
Just not enough urgency. That
Johnson gets a little tap on, and Inu will score. Wow. DC Chapman, you're on the sideline. The Warriors fans are going mental.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. That'll be a TRY. Look, just got to catch those high bombs. Let it bounce, and Johnson had a very nice tap to Inu, and they're back in the game now.
Okay, it's a try, it's been given. That means the score is 16 points to 10. Kick to come for the Warriors. What a tense ending to the grand final. This could be the last chance the Warriors get. They're down 16 points to 10. 3 minutes left on the clock. It comes from Ohio. He goes wide to Johnson. Johnson steps back inside, gives it to Locke.
What a step, Locke.
He's passed it out to Manu. Manu's beaten
Manu's
one.
So close.
Manu's beaten another. Manu's
over.
Come
on. And he runs
he
it in around
the
under
position.
The post.
Manu Badabai has put the Warriors in line to tie this ball game up with just 2 minutes left. DC, what's happening? The crowd is going bananas.
The crowd's going nuts. I can barely hear myself talk. I can't even think. It just fell on the ground and he was in the right spot at the right time. The beast, and he ran it in, put it down. It was beautiful.
Now, Kevin Locke is the instrument of this one. Wow. The instrument of mass destruction. The little fella from Waitanganangi or wherever he's from. I'm not sure exactly where it is. But he just shows a clean pair of heels, steps in between about three or four players. Jamie Lyon can't get a hit. Will Hopewade can't manage the size of the beast, Vadu Vadavai. And we'll have a look at the replay here. Nick McInerney, the Warriors, they have a kick to go to tie this grand final up.
This is the ending that everybody wanted, everyone asked for. Nice and tight, down to the wire. And you'd have to say you've got to back Maloney to put this one over the sticks with his kicking record. Will it come down to golden point? Wow, it is hanging in the balance at the moment.
The crowd is going nuts.
I can't even think, it's so loud in here.
Now there's some pressure on James Maloney here. It is a very simple conversion, just a couple of metres to the left-hand side of the post, Nick McInerney, but I've seen these missed before.
Oh, and especially with the pressure, I'd liken it to the soccer penalty. It's for the final here, the pressure. You're surely expected to make it, but anything can happen when you buckle under that pressure. And he lines it up, he comes in. Oh, and he struck it a little bit nervously, but it's over.
Inside the left-hand upright. The score is 16-all in the 2011 Grand Final. Are we heading to golden point, DC?
More excited than I don't know what.
Damn it.
I think we're headed to golden point here. I'm very excited about this. This has been one of the great grand finals. Just incidentally, I'm feeling a few raindrops too, so it's about to come down.
And that famous Sydney weather in early October. Let's go to golden point in the 2011 grand final. Wow, what an ending to this game. We're in golden point extra time, boys. And oh, the Warriors, they've got a chance. An error from Anthony Watmo, the turnstile. And the Warriors will just try and build up for that field goal, Nick.
Oh, that is a great run. He's made good yards. He's inside the 20 here.
Lilyman's gone back to Jeremiah. Jeremiah's gone across field, but he'll take the tackle 10 metres out. DC, what's the feeling like on the sideline? Quickly.
Everyone's on the edge.
Okay, that was fast enough. Okay, it's come back from Jeremiah. Jeremiah's gone to Maloney. Maloney will just turn Madaleno under the post.
Tackle. Here they go.
Here we go. What will they do? It's 16 points all. There's 87 minutes gone in the 2011 Grand Final. What's happening? Oh, Jeremiah goes back to James Maloney. Maloney! Oh, where is the one? Come up. Come up in. DC. DC, I got the sideline.
Punched it over. Oh, cool as you like. And they've won it. Go the Warriors.
G'day everyone, welcome to another Footy Show, episode 88. It's the grand final preview show. I'm Warwick Nicholson.
I'm DC Chapman.
I'm Mac Nicanerny.
And this is episode 88. The Warriors play Manly in just a few days, boys. We have got a bumper podcast.
We got Dell. We got the big man.
Wendell Saylor, in case you didn't know who Dell was.
Kevin Campion.
Kevin Campion.
Return offender.
And he basically tells us about the most infamous halftime speech of all time. Yeah, okay. Have to listen to that.
We've also got the regulars, Matt and Maria.
Yep, they're giving us all the lowdown, their predictions for the game. Our predictions, of course. We've got eyes. We've got a special rep from the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs, Ross Smart. He tells us about the New South Wales Cup Grand Final. Andy Raymond, he's going to be absolutely dissecting how the game is won and what tactics he'd take into the Grand Final.
This show's going to be too big for one show.
It'll be in two parts. I start off with...
the first part.
And that is with...
that would be with Kevin Campion...
Nick McInerney. And then after that, at the halftime break, he will jump into the chair.
DC Chapman comes in after that to bring us home.
Indeed. So it is a monster podcast, everybody. And remember, tell all your friends about it because, you know, it's a pretty big effort. Not the Footy Show putting it together, and we've done our best to bring you, quite frankly, the best show we've ever produced.
Ever.
Not the Footy Show.
Williams charging back to the middle. 3 metres out from the line. Southern end of the ground here at the Footy Stadium. Ballon for Cherry Evans. Cherry Evans for Shane Rodney. Rodney will get it away. He finds his captain. Jamie Lyon wrestles away from Bowen. Gets it down to Cherry Evans. Cherry Evans gets it on to Foran. Foran gets it to Stewart. And the snake has gone in. Brett Stewart has scored for Manly. Beautiful passage of play.
Absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Well, I don't know what Des Hasler said, but whatever it was had the desired effect because the desperation from his football team early in this second half has increased dramatically. Watch the skill level here. Short ball, Cherry Evans. He's on the ground almost, boring, but offloads to one of the best support players in the game, B. Stewart.
Part one of Not the Footy Show's Grand Final special features me, Warwick Nicholson, alongside Nick McInerney, talking to Kevin Campion, Matty Duncan, Ross Smart from the Bulldogs, and Eyes as well, as we fill out part one. Part two, it might be even better, because DC Chapman will join me to speak to Wendell Saylor, Andy Raymond, and Maria Cialis.
Not the Footy Show.
Five tackles gone, and again the call is there for the defence. There's a punch-up. Webby is trading punches with Campion. Mander has stopped play.
Yeah, I think that Shane Webby will be penalised here. He was nailed by Kevin Campion on the inside pass.
Okay, everybody. Well, Kevin Campion was on the show earlier this year to talk about Darren Lockyer. But poor old Lockie is gone, so we've got Kevin back on to talk about the Warriors because... oh, this man who played, as we've mentioned before, for almost every single club in the NRL, played in four grand finals. Is that right, Kevin?
That's it, mate, yeah.
And you played for...
enough to play in four.
Yeah, and you played for the Warriors in 2002. So who better to speak to about the Warriors' chances than Kevin Campion?
Thanks, mate.
Oh, that's all right, mate. You can go. You can take the accolades. We're happy to give them out here on Not the Footy Show because no one's giving it to us. So, mate, you played as... in the Dragons in 96 as a runner-up, and you won in 98 and 2000 with the Broncos, and runner-up again with the Warriors. Mate, we're looking at the fact that, you know, you only played 2 years over there with the Warriors, but when you guys made the grand final back in 2002, what was the feeling like in Auckland at the time?
Mate, it was unbelievable. Look, we finished with the minor premiership that year, yep. So, I mean, we were, you know, we had a, I think we only lost 5 games in the season proper. So, mate, we were confident. We were a good side. It was not unlike a Broncos side that I'd previously played in. So, you know, there was a bit of an arrogance about that side that we knew that we could. We were just going to win.
Yep.
And unfortunately, it got to the last game and. We didn't.
in terms of the area embracing you guys as the first grand final that the Warriors had made, what was the reaction from the public at that time?
Mate, we had tremendous support. Look, especially in Auckland, where you know there is a stronghold of rugby league supporters in the north. Obviously, you remember all the tests at Carlisle Park and that, you know, over the years against Australia. Mate, there's a really strong contingent of rugby league support, especially in Auckland. Mate, and they came out in droves. We just won so many games in 2002 and, you know, we did finish with the minor premiership. People forget that. We were the... I know the Bulldogs got stripped of some points right at the end, but, we beat the Bulldogs that year. We were probably one of the only sides to beat them.
That's a good point.
Mate, we were going into the finals series very, very confident.
Well, hi, Kevin. It's Nick here. We'll move on to this Sunday, and we'll just ask you, in your opinion, especially in the midst of the Rugby World Cup going on right now and right in the middle of it with the grand final pending on Sunday, what kind of impact will a Warriors victory have on rugby league in New Zealand?
Look, it's obviously going to have an impact. It's unfortunate that the Rugby World Cup is being played in New Zealand at the moment because there's no bigger support in the world than New Zealand with their rugby.
Yeah, and that
does have an effect on rugby league over there. But if you ask any Kiwi, they will know that the Warriors are playing, whether they're rugby league supporters or rugby supporters, they'll know that the Warriors are playing in the grand final this weekend. And, you know, I think all of New Zealand will be definitely barracking for them.
I actually think in some ways it's probably almost a good thing that it's happening during the World Cup because they're in that carnival festival atmosphere as it is, and this is going to be like that cherry on the top. I mean, it's not like they're playing it on the same day as the World Cup final, so...
No, and that's right, mate. And you'll be surprised, at the grand final, at the stadium this weekend, there will be 70% New Zealand support there. Obviously they can't all get over there to watch the rugby, but the next best thing is to go and watch the rugby league grand final in Sydney. So, mate, they will be going out in droves, and it was an amazing feeling. And I still, I'm just getting shivers now, running out onto the stadium and singing, singing the Australian anthem and then the Kiwi anthem, which was such a great moment for me in rugby league. But it'll just be amazing for the players.
Mate, we're hoping that it's like 95% Warriors fans there on Sunday.
That's a great thing about it. With the Manly side, there's a flavour of New Zealand in there as well.
Yeah,
so they'll have some good support, but they've won 17 premierships, so mate, it's time for New Zealand to win one.
Completely agree. There's no doubt at all. There's a bit of an anti-Manly stance on this show, which is fine. That's the way they like it. They like it that way, so we're happy to oblige. Warriors all the way, mate. In terms of preparations, we mentioned you played in four. If you compare the preparation back in 1996. Versus the preparation in 2002, what kind of differences were there leading up to the games?
Well, mate, the difference for me in 1996, I wasn't prepared mentally for that game.
Yeah.
I was only a young guy, 24, but I was just happy to be playing first grade, and I was with some very, very good players. Who'd played at Australian level and Queensland level or New South Wales level. But I was starting second row with, Dave Barnhill and Scott Gulay.
Yeah.
So, mate, I was, mentally I was out of my league, I guess.
Okay.
I wasn't prepared for the game. I just got caught up in the hype. Outside influences were, you know, doing, just making havoc with my mind, you know, and all I was thinking about, I wasn't thinking about doing my job or doing what was needed for the team. You know, you go to 90, I think it was 98, and, you know, it wasn't until up until, you know, the night before the grand final that I sort of, I couldn't sleep during the week.
Okay.
Because it does play, like, mentally, it does, if you're not prepared for it, it just plays havoc on you. But, you know, I just had the best night's sleep the night before the game because I finally, you know, got it. But all I had to do was concentrate on what I had to do for the team.
Okay.
Where in 96 I didn't.
Yeah.
2000, I was, you know, totally relaxed for the whole week because I knew all I had to do was do my job for the team. In 2002, I was very, very relaxed. All I knew I had to do was my job for the team. And, mate, guys that hadn't been there, I think BJ Marsh might have played the previous year off the bench, but
yeah, good point.
I was one of, say, only two in that side that had grand final experience, where the Roosters had a lot of grand final experience, where and guys got caught up in the week and the hype, and, you know, it just showed on the night that half a dozen guys just weren't mentally prepared for that game.
Yeah, speaking of that match, not the Footy Show fans may not know about a rather famous or infamous story about the experience you guys as a team had at halftime.
Mate, I don't want to go over this. Actually, I do.
Yes.
I love talking about it, mate. It was one of the most bizarre experiences of my rugby league career. And well, you know, I had a laugh with Ivan, you know, a couple of years after that grand final, and everyone had forgotten about what happened at half time. But
just take us through what happened, mate.
Sorry, mate.
Just take us through what happened.
Mate, well, what happened was, you know, obviously, you know, at half time you expect the coach to come in and tell you what's going wrong, what we need to improve on, and whatnot. Anyway, you know, Daniel Anderson came in. He told a few certain players who weren't having very good games to just keep on doing what they were doing.
Okay.
All they were doing was killing us, crueling us. And then he left the room. Anyway, one of the assistants turned on this bloody tape recorder, and it was a mock commentary of the Warriors, like, in the grand final, playing in a grand final, the Warriors v the Broncos.
Yeah.
And it basically went, you know, and it had an announcer like Rabbits Warren's, you know, commentating the call. And welcome to the 2002 grand final, the Warriors v the Broncos. And it had this mock commentary of the Warriors, you know, the last ditch final grand final try in the last minute. But it went through 30 sets of hands, and we scored under the post to win the grand final. And I'm just sitting in the room, just gobsmacked of what I was listening to. And if I could have thrown that tape recorder as hard as I could against the wall, I would have. But mate, it was a bizarre incident, and it'll go down in grand final folklore.
It will. Now, is there any confirmation that it was actually Reg Warren, done by Billy Birmingham?
Mate, I don't know who it was, but I had a great commentary voice, I tell you.
Well, there you go. Nick hasn't heard that story before. Nick, you play at a decent level of soccer. If your coach walks in with a tape recorder and goes through... What I found hilarious about the story, mate, is that it's the Broncos. It's not even... They didn't even re-record it to play the Roosters.
The coach was obviously thinking that the Broncos would beat Roosters the week before and didn't bother about changing it. That made it all even more laughable.
But, Nick, how would you react to that kind of thing?
I can't think of anything that would take away from my concentration more. Unbelievable.
Actually, you know, well, the thing is, at half time, guys were actually jumping up and throwing their fists in the air, thinking that we won the grand final.
were they the same six blokes that had a shocker in the first half?
Yeah, there was a few of them, mate. Yeah.
Very good, mate. Actually, it's funny you mention it in that context, because for our podcast on the grand final show that you listen to, everyone's listening to right now, we're actually doing a mock version of how we think the grand final end up.
And good.
We're doing two endings. We're doing one that's with the Manly winning, which will be very disappointing, and then we're doing one with the Warriors. So can you send us, like, I don't know if you got a chance, but send us a copy of that tape and we can just play that instead.
Mate, I did have a copy of it, and you wouldn't believe it. I had it on my, when I was at the Warriors coaching in 2005, I had it. Someone sent it to me, and I had it. I just, I don't know where it is. I've got it somewhere.
If there is any way.
I want everyone to hear it.
That would be absolutely fantastic. But yeah, everybody, we promised a pretty big story here from Kevin Kemp, and he's delivered. Now, Nick has a final question for you, mate.
We know you played next to Ivan Cleary as your fullback in 2002. Was there anything, any anticipation or any... Did he ever mention he was going to be a coach? And could you ever foresee him leading, him being the man to lead the Warriors to the grand final 9 years later?
Mate, when he retired from football, he took up a coaching lane as a reserve grade coach at the Roosters. So he got into it pretty quickly, straight after his career. And he won the reserve grade premiership a year later, I think in 2004,
wouldn't it? Yeah, when they made the three grades.
Mate, so he has got, he's got pretty good credentials just in that. So, mate, you could see that he was, he's very focused. He doesn't say much, but when he does speak, obviously, he, it makes sense.
He's a very cool-looking customer, isn't he?
Mate, and he's so calm, and I think that's sort of rubbing off against his with his players at the moment. You know, they're really calm how they're going about their wares at the moment. You know, they're playing really patient football, and you saw on the weekend, you know, in the 77th minute where they've, you know, they could have tried their hand a bit earlier, you know, played their hand a bit earlier and tried to, you know, do something fancier, but they ground out a good couple of sets to get into a scoring opportunity against the Storm, and just a bit of brilliance with that Sean Johnson. It was really beyond scoring. It was amazing. It was great.
We made a comment. We did a review of the games on Monday, and I think you look at the different sets between that Warriors set where they actually looked to score and put the game beyond doubt versus what the Storm tried to do two or three sets earlier, where they just basically waited to the fifth tackle to kick. There wasn't
down the other end,
you know,
right.
And they had their chances, but they just tried to rely on the kick to score. Whereas, you know, the Warriors, once they got that chance at the end to put the game away, they did it. That's a really good sign going into the grand final, isn't it?
Oh, definitely, mate. Yeah, and you know, I don't think the Storm gave the Warriors enough respect in that regard. You know, they just thought they'd come on the day, and you could tell in the aftermatch functions, aftermatch speeches, that they were shocked and you know, obviously bitterly disappointed, but. You know, they were beaten by a Storm outfit.
Yeah, no, that's a very good point. They got outstormed, the old Storm. It's a very
good
point.
They were, mate.
We go towards Sunday, mate, and I know, well, I'm hoping that definitely you're going for the Warriors, but can you give us a score, mate? What do you think the score is in the end?
Look, it's going to be a great grand final. I think it's going to be, you know, one of the tightest, toughest grand finals in, you know, probably a decade. So, mate, I'm just picking the Warriors by 8.
By 8. And Clive Churchill medalist?
Mate, the Clive Churchill medalist, I'm hoping it's Michael Luck. I think he deserves it.
Yeah, that's actually a good call. And, of course, for all the punters out there, they want to know who's going to score the first try, mate.
Mate, the big Manu, the big beast on the wing.
Now, just quickly on him, how good's his last 2 weeks been after that shocker against the Broncos?
Mate, yeah, definitely. Yeah. And that's it's great that the coach actually supported him after that loss. You know, if you look back at in 2002, the coach that we had probably wouldn't have supported that, and that guy would have went into the grand final, you know, into the next game just shattered.
Yeah.
You know, mate, and that's the type of coach. You know, there's a lot of Wayne Bennett in Ivan Cleary.
Okay.
He's just, he's way beyond his years, and
he's definitely the coolest customer going around, isn't he?
Sorry, mate?
He's definitely the coolest customer going around.
Mate, he's cool, mate, yeah. Very relaxed.
Very, very good. Well, Kevin Campion, mate, it's been the second...
From the northern beaches.
Go again, bud. Sorry, I cut you off.
I said he's a surfer from the northern beaches, mate. What do you expect?
Explains it all.
I won't hold that against him, though.
Indeed. Actually, that's a very good point. Was he a North Sydney or a Manly junior?
Mate, I think he's a North Sydney. We played North Sydney first there, yeah.
And then he got picked up by Manly. Anyway, Kevin Campion, we thank you very much for being on our grand final show. Thanks again for being on our show earlier in the year. It's been a pleasure talking to you, mate, and hearing that famous story about the halftime tape recorder.
Good on you, boys.
Michael Luck with the right side flank and over your score! James Maloney scores for the Wombats. First, the village of Arimba. And I think the pub's called the Tall Timbers. You'd be loving it.
Well, hello everybody, this is Eyes with his tips for Not the Footy Show.
Hello.
How's it going, Eyes? Your final appearance on the podcast. The first question for you. Now, we're gonna talk about a few things that you've learnt over the year. Who's your favourite player this year?
Andy Marshall.
Oh, very good call, mate. Very good call. Extremely good player. Played very well this year. And who's the best team?
Canberra.
Ah, oh, you didn't say the Dragons. We talked about this, though. You're going to say the Dragons?
No. Oh. Raiders.
Fair enough. Ah, oh, one more question for you guys. Now, You've been doing the tipping for the whole season, and you've been doing really well. Who's the better tipster, yourself or Uncle Warwick?
Me.
Yeah. Do you think you're a better tipper than Uncle Warwick?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, his finals record says that. Yeah. You are, Eyes, you've tipped better than everybody else in our finals tipping comp. Yeah, Mum can hear that. Mum knows that you tipped better than everybody else. Now, we're going to ask you about the grand final now, mate. We've got the Manly Seagulls up against the Warriors. Who do you think wins, buddy? Whoa! Oh,
early call from Eyes there.
But Eyes, we don't like Manly. We can't go for Manly.
Oh.
Are you sure you want to stick with the Seagulls?
Yeah.
Oh.
No.
No. Oh, yes, we've turned him.
Yes.
Warriors.
That's what I like to hear, Eyes. None of my family is ever going to go for Manly. You can bet on that. Well done, buddy. Now, we've got our final part of the show, mate, with you and Mr. Nick. He's got a question for you, okay? Here it is.
Okay, Eyes. Well, you know that I go for the Dragons. And I know that you go for the Canberra Raiders. So I thought for next year we should make things a little bit more interesting, maybe, and say that is there anything that you can think of that if the Canberra Raiders finish higher in the table than the Dragons, that I should have to do for you as a reward, or even give to you as a reward?
So, I don't want to get it.
What would you like, mate? If Canberra finish higher than the Dragons, what should Mr. Nick have to give you?
I want you to go to Canberra Raiders.
Oh, that's a big call.
For a whole year. Very big call. For a whole year. How about that?
Just like I did to Bailey.
Very nice.
Yes.
Well, alternatively then, Eyes, if the Dragons finish higher than the Raiders, what should you have to do?
Stay in Canberra.
Oh, that sounds like a pretty fair deal, I think. I think we can shake on that.
Yes, very good, Eyes. Well, mate, it's been great having you on the show. You've been an expert tipster. Everybody has loved your segments. And
Uncle
Mr. Nick.
Warwick.
Yes.
Uncle Warwick.
Yes, buddy.
We're going out for a barbecue.
Okay, well, you better go to your barbecue. Mate, we'll see you when you get back from holidays. And who do we pick again? Who do we pick to win? The Warriors or Manly?
Warriors!
Yeah. Good call.
See you, buddy.
Have fun at the barbecue.
Thanks, bye.
Shane Rodney with the 13 shirt on his back, with Glenn Stewart missing. Jerry Evans, and here's Brett Stewart. What a pass. What a deliverance from Jerry Evans, the number 7. For Brett Stewart to rack up another try.
It's an instinctive pass. He's a natural ball player, this young man. Has not missed a game this season. And that's not the first time he's put it on a platter for a man on his outside. Look at the outside defender he attracts in Peter Wallace. Held him up. Held him long enough to put Stewart through.
Down low, Darryl Halligan. He's had plenty of these in his career. None more important. 1 foot in from touch. 30 centimetres. Can he do it?
Has there been a more important kick for Darryl Halligan? Has there been a more important kick for Canterbury? hits it. If it hooks it, it's staying on the line. He's got it. Oh, the man is a messiah.
He's a freak. That's a freak. It's unbelievable.
Well, you've got to admire them, haven't you? They never say die. These guys, have a look at Talao. He says, that's a beautiful ball from Rod Silver. He's got a couple of inches in. And that's a great try to Talao. And here's the kick. Hellingham, he's raised the roof.
Okay, everyone. Well, the New South Wales Cup Grand Final is this Sunday at 12 p.m. at ANZ Stadium, and one of the men from the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs Club, his title is the General Manager of Communications Community Relations, Ross Smart, has been kind enough to join us to talk about the game. Ross, good afternoon.
Afternoon, gentlemen, and apologies for the long-winded title.
Well, we're going to say, how big is your business card?
yeah, it could be shorter. It's a bit bigger than the spaces I'm sitting in at the moment, which is my office, which is currently drowning under a sea of papers.
Very, very good. Mate, we're going to be talking about the fact that the Bulldogs are up against the Auckland Vulcans in the decider for the New South Wales Cup this weekend. Really, the question is, you guys, you're shooting for your third straight New South Wales Cup, is that correct?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Not many people would know this. Obviously, anyone who follows the New South Wales Cup would know the Bulldogs got up over Windsor in the 2010 decider. But 2009 Grand Final day, a side called Bankstown Sports, coached by one Terry Lamb and with a star player by the name of Ben Barber, got the job done 32-0 over Balmain on Grand Final day in 2009. So, yeah, we're chasing our third straight title this Sunday, and certainly it's not going to be an easy ask against a pretty big and pretty entertaining Auckland Vulcans side.
Well, that's it. I was going to ask you, when you have a look at your squad, there's a slight amount of NRL depth on the roster. Can you tell us who the 17 that you've picked for this weekend are?
Well, running through from top to bottom, we've got the captain, Trent Cutler, a fullback. Then on the wings, Michael Lett and Bryson Goodwin. In the centres, Nathan Smith and Jonathan Wright. Ben Roberts at 5'8". Josh Reynolds at halfback. Front rowers are Tim Brown and Chris Armit, with Joel Romolo at hooker. In the second row, Jake Foster and one Brad Morin, with Harlan Alatoa, on at lock. We've named a six-man bench consisting of number 14 and hooker Shane Pomipi, Marty Tapau in 15, Michael Hodgson in 16, number 17 Junior T. Khalifi, 19 Gary Warburton, and number 20 Daniel Ravakava. So, yeah, we're in a very lucky position, and certainly everyone here at the club is very thankful for the depth that we've had in New South Wales Cup all through the year. I did the math just earlier today, and that side that I've just read out, it's got a total of 738 NRL games to its name, which is just it's just astounding. There's only three guys in the squad that haven't played NRL before, being Nathan Smith, Harlan Alatoa, and Shane Pomipi, and they've actually been three of the standouts the last few games. So, it's a very fortunate position to be in. But certainly, no one here is under any illusions that NRL experience is going to get us home on Sunday. Certainly, it'll help. But as mentioned, this Vulcan side has done some wonderful things of late. They gave us a real good run for our money just a few weeks before the final series when they came over here, and we only just got over the top of them. And they'll be riding a wave of emotion too, with the Warriors having both their NRL and Toyota Cup sides in the grand final, and the Vulcans in the New South Wales Cup decider. It's going to be a big day for New Zealand, for Auckland, and obviously for their club.
Yeah, hi Ross, it's Nick here. We couldn't help looking at the list, and just only three players that have no first grade experience. Yeah. You guys must be incredibly confident going into this match.
You said that, but also we were a bit disappointed because you stole our stat. We had that prepared before we looked at your press release.
I love a stat. Anyone who knows me will know that I'll bore them to tears with that kind of stuff. I love that sort of stuff. So yeah, I remember when Trent Cutler got his surprise call up to first grade this year. I did the math there and there. I got about 20 minutes jump on the journos before we had to name the team, so I went up and did some quick back stat work.
Yeah.
It's only like 1,471 days between first grade games. I like that kind of stuff.
It's awesome. Fantastic. Yeah, as you said, only three of the 19. Now, the Auckland Vulcans, as you mentioned, they've got a fair bit of experience themselves. I did just notice that Sean Berrigan hasn't been named for them. Do you reckon there's a chance he actually may be playing this weekend for the first grade side, or did he get hurt last weekend?
Well, I didn't get to see the game. I arrived at Leichhardt Oval just before kickoff in our game. Yep. I caught the back end of the Vulcans Cronulla game, which sounded remarkably entertaining on the radio on my way to Leichhardt Oval, but I didn't actually see. So grand final.
Yeah.
It's you never know what's going to happen. I guess with team announcements and team namings and that sort of thing. Ivan Cleary might have some ideas about maybe inserting his experience into the NRL squad. Mind you, that squad has been playing pretty good footy, and from what I can tell, they're fairly injury free. So, I don't know. The short answer is you never know what's going to happen.
Indeed.
Yeah. So, another question for you: We notice there's a massive amount of first grade experience going into the match, but in your opinion, do you think these are the two best teams this year in the New South Wales Cup?
Oh, well, look, it's certainly been an entertaining season at New South Wales Cup level, but certainly having the minor premiers in the Bulldogs playing the second place Vulcans is a pretty good outcome for the competition. It's a great showcase for the final game of the year, and had two really good sides again that have not only had good years but have played some pretty good football. Arguably, the Vulcans have played the more exciting brand of football, and certainly, as I said, I didn't see the game, but by the sounds of it, the game on Sunday that they played over Cronulla, they managed to get it done with some pretty spectacular play in some pretty hard conditions, and the rain actually held up for our game. Yes, we got the job done pretty well over North, that came out of the blocks on an absolute flyer, but I don't think anyone's under the illusion here that we're runaway favourites or anything like that. We know that it's going to be tough, and I guess it's great for the New South Wales Rugby League and for this competition that does get probably unfairly derided from time to time, but the two sides of this quality are facing off in the decider. It really is a great spectacle for them, and it's going to look great on television. It's going to look great for those people who get out there early for the midday kickoff. They'll know that they'll see not only a great NRL decider, a great Toyota Cup decider, but the New South Wales Cup Grand Final is going to be outstanding as well.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's a 12 o'clock kickoff, everybody, so if you've got Grand Final tickets, get down early. You won't be disappointed. And the Canterbury Club, you're moving back to Belmore in 2012. Is it true that you guys have already started to actually make your move as a base back to Belmore?
Well, that is true. Our boys will be back in training on November 1, and they'll start their pre-season at the new facility at Belmore Sports Ground, which is really exciting for the club. So it's a culmination of a long couple of years' work. The redevelopment's now clocking in just under $10 million, and the facilities there are just outstanding. There's going to be a gym that's four times the size of what we've currently got at our office at the Sydney Olympic Park. Brand new facilities for coaching staff, for rehab. We've got two ice bars that if you stand up in them, you just about go under.
And, nice work.
There's all sorts of rehab facilities. We just won't know ourselves. We'll have much more room to move around. Our admin facilities and our training facilities will be together once again.
Yep.
I'm not sure how many people would know, but our sides have done the majority of their training over the last 2 years at Wilson Park
and
Silverwater, which was close to our base at Olympic Park. It's still, you've got to jump in the car and drive for nearly 10 minutes to get there, whereas now, certainly from my perspective in the media space, my desk will be about 20 steps away from their training field. So I'm loving it. The players will love it. They'll know they're alive when they get back there and everything's there for them. And there's packing boxes all over our office at the moment at Olympic Park as we ready ourselves for the move. The moving date, I think, is Monday, October 17th, so it's really exciting times.
Yeah, sounds like you got a really good setup there, Ross. Belmore's actually pretty close to my heart, playing in the State Premier League soccer for New South Wales League this year, and I think it's a fantastic ground to be at. I've got a question for you here. I love the small NRL grounds, or small inverted commas. I don't know what the capacity would be there, but is there any chance that we could expect to see either trial games and maybe in the future NRL games come back to Belmore?
Well, I guess we address the big question first, and thankfully, I don't get paid the big bucks to make these decisions. But Todd Greenberg, our CEO, has been on the record this year as saying you know, you never say never. We've got a great deal and a great relationship with ANZ Stadium at the moment, and they've been a great home ground for us for a long time. But there may be a possibility down the track with some more investment in Belmore Sports Ground of taking an NRL game there in the future, where our current deal is through to 2015. So nothing's likely to happen before then. But Todd was on the record recently saying that, you know, it's certainly not outside the realms of possibility. But certainly in terms of NRL trials, we will be back there next year.
Excellent. Beautiful.
We'll be playing a trial against the Sydney Roosters in the second weekend in February, which is hoped will be five grades in action from Harold Matthews Cup right through the NRL. The moving parts around that are still being locked into place.
Yep.
But certainly we're looking at playing that trial in February back at Belmore against the Roosters. You know, it's going to be great. It's going to be massive. We're looking like, you know, giving a nod to those people who renew their memberships. It won't be a members-only trial, but they'll certainly get the first grab at those seats. Brian, you said some might have. Every single one of them has been replaced.
Fantastic.
It's going to be a really exciting day for the club. It's going to be great to get back there and back in our heartland. And it would be a real boost for everyone. A lot of people have worked very hard to get the club back there, and we're really looking forward to it.
Excellent. Now, there's another big initiative that the club's making, and you're looking for a digital media coordinator. And given the base that the club has built on in 2011, you've got features like What's On With Christie, In The Big Chair, Members In Focus, Player Profiles, and you recently did a series on the departing players. Obviously, your club sees the value of interacting with the fans online.
Oh, absolutely. It's the new marketplace, and it's forever expanding, as anyone who has delved into, you know, social media would know. You know, it's not just Twitter and Facebook and that sort of thing anymore. There's, you know, it seems like there's new platforms jumping up every day, and we, like many clubs, have really made it a priority to not only be active in that space but be trying new things, and certainly we're not the only club to do it, and there's been some great stuff done by any number of clubs. We're fortunate in that we've got the backing to resource ourselves so we can make the most of these type of improvements in social media, and certainly it's not just the social media side of things. It's web development, and it's graphic design and video production, that sort of stuff. We've taken some big strides in the last couple of years, and it's been a really exciting time, not just for our club but for most clubs, and we're looking now to take the next step and to be even more active in the space.
Well, speaking of that issue, Ross, I actually know someone who's a good friend of mine who's he might be willing, a very passionate young man, and very well voiced in these issues, who I might be able to, you know, connect you with if you really wanted me to. I'd be happy to do that for you.
All I can say to that is the Abbey is currently online at seek.com.au. Get down there, check it out, and hopefully we'll see your friend somewhere down the track in the process.
Yeah, I've got no idea who he's talking about. Ross Smart, it's been a pleasure having you on, mate. Good luck to the Dogs this weekend, and thanks for being on the show.
Thanks, guys. I've enjoyed it, and have a great grand final day.
Vieira in the way, chases on, fullback across, Bowen should run him down, passes to the left, Robertson's got the ball, shows it, takes the tackle on the 20, gets it back and away, now it's Morrow, now it's Bowen, Bowen scores for Manly in the shadows of full time.
Well, it's not a big crowd, but it's a noisy one at the moment. They have loved what they have seen second half, and we didn't see this coming. Not 40 points scored by the Eagles, but they've got it right second half.
So Robertson takes the kick. So Manly have beaten the clock in the second half.
Top of the Shark Show.
Okay, everyone, I hope you're enjoying Not The Footy Show's grand final podcast, episode 88, and we're coming towards the end of part one, but it wouldn't be Not The Footy Show without who, Nick McInerney?
One Mr. Matty Duncan. I've been enjoying his segment, I must say, probably the most of all the segments this year, I think.
Oh, geez, that's a bit of pressure.
It's a big call, isn't it, mate? Big call. How are you going?
I'm very well, thank you. Long time no speak, Nick.
Yeah, that's it. It has been too long.
Did you guys talk in the pre-season edition or what?
Yeah, I can't remember which one it was, but I know we have definitely done...
There's been at least one,
but it's been a long time between drinks.
Matt's been counting down the days.
As have I.
Mate, we've got you on because, mate, when we talk about rugby league and the way that it's followed, the way that we watch it, the way that we feel about rugby league, there's no better person to talk to. And that leads us to the biggest question coming out of the grand... or going into the grand final, coming out of the grand final. We know that everybody's going to be going for the Warriors because everyone hates Manly. We've established that. But the thing that I really want to look at is the fact that Manly and the Warriors are in the grand final. Is there a chance, Matt, that rugby league is taking a turn for the better and attack is now part of the game again?
It seems that way, doesn't it, Woz? You know, Warriors are quite the attacking outfit, and Manly have really changed their style of football this year for the better. We've discussed that before on the podcast there, where the attacking football of the early 90s might be back.
And that is just, oh.
Oh, man, massive relief, I tell you.
And you only got to look at the teams that both sides have picked. We'll have a look at them in full in a sec, but, you know, Kieran Foran, Daly Cherry-Evans, Brett Stewart as the trio for Manly, and then you got Kevin Locke, James Maloney and Sean Johnson for the Warriors. They're attacking footballers. You haven't got a bit part player sort of plugged in just to fill a gap.
No, they're all young and they're all very exciting players, aren't they? The stars of the future, to use a massive cliche.
Now, obviously, everyone would have loved to have seen, you know, the Tigers on the grand stage. But I've got this question for you, boys.
Well, almost everyone.
Yeah, true. Not me.
I think the Tigers are the team I love watching play more than any other. But this year, when we've had a chat about it before, but for the podcast, we're going to do it now. Are Manly the second most enjoyable team to watch play rugby league?
I actually enjoy the Cowboys when they're firing. They can be bad, but I enjoy the Bowen and Thurston's and our good friend Fifi Fun when they're firing. I find them very enjoyable to watch.
Nick?
Yeah, well, I think overall I'd probably have to say I've enjoyed the Warriors the most because the way they throw the footy around and the young talent coming through is just exactly what I love most about rugby league, but... they've been a little bit more inconsistent.
Yeah. And I must admit, the Warriors have played relatively conservative football at different times this year.
Yeah, they have. But the halves pairing of Foran and DCE, outstanding. Like, as much as I have a little small, I don't like Manly. Let's just put it out there. I can't explain why, it's just been bred into me. I love watching those guys go around, and I think they're fully deserving of being in the grand final. And, man, I can't believe he's a rookie.
I did some research during the week, and there's a bit of it on wnicholson.com, but Manly's recruitment staff deserve a massive pat on the back. I mean, you gave us the heads up about him last year, Matty, about DCE, and then he was going to be one to definitely watch this year. But they had a decision to make midway through last season, Manly. They had Trent Hodkinson, who had a pretty good rookie season for them. He'd won a few games for them, whatever. He got offered a big contract by the Bulldogs. And they had this kid called Daly Cherry-Evans just playing up in the Sunshine Coast Seagulls. He was made captain, I think, halfway through the season. Is that correct?
That's right, yeah.
And, you know, they decided in June that, no, we're not going to overpay for Trent Hodkinson, who had actually beaten out Cherry-Evans for the halfback job at the start of the year. They're going to put their faith in a guy called Daly Cherry-Evans. And here's a quote that he has from the Sunshine Coast Daily in June 2010. This is Cherry-Evans. "I'd like to think that I'm next in line for the Manly halfback spot. If they go elsewhere for anyone else, I'll be disappointed in the club." And that was a statement he made back in June 2010. You know, they didn't let him down by putting him in the role at the start of the year, but how much has he just delivered on their faith in him?
Oh, absolutely. We've seen rookie years similar to him, but he's just kept going. So, you know, often you'll see a rookie kind of fizzle out towards the end of his rookie year, but he's kept improving, which has been the impressive part. And, you know, you said about Manly's recruitment, hats off to them, but I think it kind of... They've done it 2 years in a row where, you know, in an era we haven't seen a lot of halfbacks come through, how they've brought their players through the under-20s, but then given them a year in the Queensland Cup before rushing them into first grade. And I think it's done both those kids wonders.
Yeah, I can't disagree with that. So, in the end, I asked you guys if Manly were the second best team to watch, and you've said no. So, I think they are, just for the record. They play... a style that keeps attacking. I think that's the thing I love about Manly the most. You saw it in a few of the games, even in the finals. They just don't let up, and some teams have that habit of getting a lead and they're just going to go, no, we're just going to sit in that lead and back out of defence, which Manly obviously do pride themselves in defence, but the fact they keep attacking, I have to give Manly some credit, even though I still hate them. We're going to have a look at both sides, Nick McInerney.
Yeah, and before we do that, we'll just point out the referees this week are going to be Tony Archer and Matt Checkin. Hampstead and Smith will be the video refs, and there'll be some guys running the touchline as well, we hope.
Who cares? Touchline is not going
to
do anything.
Probably not, to be fair.
Mate, we made a discussion on Sunday about the referees who we thought might get it. Shane Hayne wins the referee of the year and doesn't get the gig in the grand final. How much can we possibly read into what Voss suggested on the Sunday roast, that his little serve to Kieran Foran was part of it?
Well, something's gone wrong, hasn't it? It seems very strange. I thought he was, a certain lock-in for one position, and, maybe Arch or Checkin could get the other one. But, yeah, that seems very odd to me. You think there's got to be something along those lines. So that's the reason he didn't get the gig.
And we also touched on the fact that they hadn't done a game together since, I don't know if they did Origin 3 together, but they didn't do any of the finals together, Archer and Hayne, who we thought would be the match-up. And in the end, I give Bill Harrigan credit, is that he's rewarded, I guess, the better of the two combinations from the last 2 weeks of the semi-finals.
Yep, hats off to Harrigan.
Ooh, that's got to hurt. Anybody. Actually, he's my favourite ref by such a length, it's not even funny.
Doing a good job.
Over the course of time. Nick, we're going to go through the teams.
That's it, here we go. So, number one, we have Brett Stewart from Manly, of course.
Up against
Kevin Locke. That is exciting. Just did it in itself. Two of the finest fullbacks we've had in
quite a while. Well, here's a question for you, boys.
Both very talented.
Would either of those two players be in your top five fullbacks in the game right now?
Well, I would have to say yes, without even looking at the other
fullbacks. Well, that's why straight it's an interesting away. Question, is that it's hard to...
It's tough. We're in a great era for fullbacks at the moment.
We are. But these two, Brett Stewart particularly, with just the amount of tries the guy scores when he's actually on the field... He's had a bit of an injury, torn past, but when he plays, far out. Manly just look a different outfit with him there.
I think I'm gonna have to pick the lock.
Is lock the key?
There it is. Now, everybody, expect this over the next 4 or 5 minutes as we go through the teams. As the dad jokes come out thick and fast, the wingers, Michael Robertson up against Bill. Actually, it will be Michael Robertson up against Bill Tupu. On one side, on the right-hand side of the field, or left side if you're Manly. Nick, you got anything funny to say here?
Nothing funny, but I think I'd have to be backing Tupu in this battle, especially.
Mate, the tallest just out there, bud.
If it comes down to, hey, got him, yes.
If it comes let's move on those two.
If it comes down to the wrecking ball factor.
Then the other side of the field, William Hopewade has got the job on Manu Vatavai. Anything, lads?
That'll be a good clash. So I hope Manu has a good night. I just really hope it doesn't go wrong like it did in that Broncos game for him, because that'd be a tragedy to see. Because you've said it before, was on his night, he's the most dangerous. Well, not most. Yeah, he can have the most impact on the game
for a winger,
the wing position. So it's a great, probably one of the best young talents in any other year. Hopewadi would have been considered. Yeah, easily Rookie of the Year, but even overshadowed in his own
solid top. Yeah, William Hopewadi's got a bit of a mission ahead of him.
Why?
To stop Manu Vatavai. We're on fire. Let's go to the centres. Jamie Lyon plays on the right for Manly. Lewis Brown will play on the left for the Warriors. Okay, we've run out of jokes already.
Crickets.
Jamie Lyon, you had some material. Come on.
Yes, well, we've all heard that Piggy Lyon, as we like to call him, has changed his diet from hot chips to grass of recent times. And with this famous call, when he wants the kick to go along the ground, he yells out grass to the kicker.
Yes.
Seems to be working for him, though.
So that's about what we've got for Jamie Lyon. Lewis Brown is a pretty solid footballer. Not a lot to add about him, really. He's just one of those converted back rowers who's doing a job in the centres.
Great job.
In the centre... Sorry, mate.
Not a colourful character was,
Brad. I'd be lying if I agreed with that. We've recovered. Steve Maddai is up against Chris Ninu. Inu loves going high, and Steve Maddai loves pretending to be injured. Is that harsh?
No, he goes down a lot, doesn't he?
I can't work out if he's the toughest guy in the league or the softest, because is he playing injured or is he just doesn't know how to take a knock?
I mean, we've called Mark Gasny the cat over different times of the year and whatever. I saw an interesting one on Twitter. Someone called him Steve Cat Eye.
That works.
It does. Although I still wouldn't want to have to play against him because he'd probably smash her. But Chris Ninu, he's a bit of an X factor for the Warriors. Clearly, he'll either go up and make about 3 or 4 big plays, or he'll miss about the same amount of tackles and make that many errors. He's a roll of dice, old Chris Ninu. The 5'8"s, this is a lovely matchup. We've got Kieran Foran, who... Sturlo said was the best young player under the age of 21 at the start of the year. up against James Maloney, and we'll have an interview with Maria Cialis later on, and she will tell us about the James Maloney story. Interesting, if you had to pick, you know, I think we're all going foreign, but Maloney, he's one of the better support players in the game, I reckon.
I really like Maloney. I won't give too much away, but he's my Clive Churchill medalist.
I'll say you're giving everything away. Kieran Foran will be a popular choice for other people as well. They call him Foz.
Fozza.
Indeed, nothing more. All right. Daly Cherry Evans up against Sean Johnson in the halves. The exuberance of youth and all the rest of it. One player has been outstanding all year. Good old DCE. And the other bloke probably had his best game in first grade last week.
Yeah, this is a battle for the ages, Waz. The two youngsters head-to-head. Not similar in playing styles. As we discussed, Johnson's probably more of a running halfback, but his kicking last week was brilliant. This is the grand final for me. These two young gun stars of, you know, probably realistically could be the Australian and New Zealand halfbacks in the coming years. This is what the grand final's all about for me, these two going head-to-head.
Indeed. I've got a really bad joke, but I want Nick McInerney to say it. Come on, mate.
I can't even get it out. I just don't know.
Well, he's a Sean Johnson.
He's a bit hard to handle.
Hey! There we go. Wow.
Right over the top.
That was worse than I thought it was going to be.
That one's a bit of an in-joke.
Okay. The prop forwards, Smoke and Joe Nullavau, up against Jacob Lilleyman, and there's also Sam Rapier and Brent Kite. I hear Brent Kite's pretty high for this performance.
Oh,
okay, that's done there. We're getting bad. Jacob Lehman, he got man of the match last week. Does he back it up this week, Matt?
I think he can, Waz. I think he's a, you know, he'll have a, well, he's got it if the Warriors are going to win. I think he's one of the key players. I like the form he's been in since Origin. He had that awful game in Game 1 and then come back pretty well in Game 3, and I think he's just been building throughout the year, and he's hit form at the right time of the year. I think he'll have a boomer of a game.
Yeah, it's a nice matchup. They do obviously miss Jason King, the Seagulls, but John Oliver's done an outstanding job taking his place. The hookers are Matt Ballon and Aaron Haramaya
was a bullfrog, I think is what he's looking for.
Not bad. Ballon's been in great form, and Haramaya will go to England at the end of the year, but he has had a great back end of the season for the Warriors. Now, the back rows, this is probably where a lot of the game will be decided, because they're stacked back rows. We've got Anthony the Human Turnstile Watmo, Tony the Cat, or Tony Meow Williams, and Glenn, what do we call him?
Ooh, Glenn Stewart.
No, that's Brett, you goose.
Oh, it's Brett.
Glenn, what's Rocky and Bullwinkle, isn't it? Because
Yes.
Because Adam Blair at least threw some punches, and Glenn Stewart just missed everything, so we're going Bullwinkle. It's not the strongest joke, but it's one nonetheless. Felipe Mateo, apparently they like calling him Phil. Did you know this, Matt?
No, I didn't.
His name is Phil. Everyone calls him Phil.
Lucky Phil.
There you go.
No relation to Phil McCracken.
Hey, there we go. Now, Simon Mannering is the captain for the Warriors. He will play back row. And lucky they've got a guy in the 13 called
Michael Luck.
Now, everyone is aware that Michael is actually spelt differently.
It's pretty funny he's number 13, too, just coincidentally.
Hey, very good.
It's his lucky number.
See, people, for an unscripted running through the teams, we're doing all right. the bench. It's what Gus says, that he loves the Warriors bench more than anything in the world. What's the Warriors bench, Nick McInerney?
Ooh, the Warriors bench, it's pretty sparkling. Lance Hohaya, Russell Packer, Ben Matalino, Elijah Taylor, and Steve Rapira. There are some impact players coming off that
bench. Rapira's the 18th man. I love the mix of the Warriors bench. What about you, Matt?
Yeah, it's got everything you want in a bench, doesn't it? Bit of flair in Hohaya, bit of, you know, some big guys coming off to cause some havoc late in the half. No, it's a perfect mix as far as the bench goes.
Now, one person you can really rely on is Ben, Matt, or the Lino. Wow. Shane, Rodney, Jamie Bureau, Vic Morrow, George Rose, Darcy Lussick, and Tim Robinson. Save me, boys. That's the Manly bench.
You've dumbfounded me, Walt.
He stumped me as well, mate.
You got anything?
No, I've got absolutely nothing.
Get this, fans will like Shane, Video, Rodney. Or gorgeous George Rose. I've got really nothing. Anything at all, Nick? Come on.
I'm firing.
We were on fire for a long period there. I don't know how we got through 70 players.
We should have hung it up when we were
should have said bench at the peak and been done. They'll obviously shave a few players off there. I would imagine Robinson definitely won't play, and they've really got to decide whether they go with Bure, whether he's worth the hassle, or hassle, that's a harsh way of putting it, whether it's worth carrying Bure and Rodney on their bench. Do you think they'll probably drop Bure as the extra player, Matt?
I'd say that'd be that you couldn't go with both of them, and yeah, Rodney probably gets a slight nod there.
Yep, okay, so they're the teams, everybody, with the bad jokes thrown in for free. You pay no more here on Not the Footy Show, which is free, incidentally. Nick, you have a question for Matt Duncan. What is it about?
Yes, well, the Queensland Cup Grand Final has been played by the look of this.
Who won it?
And the Seagulls won. Other than the fact that they won, Matt, is there anything else you want to tell us about that game?
Well, the Seagulls won, and the Seagulls lost.
Well,
there you go. It was the winner Manly Seagulls defeated the Tweed Head Seagulls, just to throw a lot of confusion in. So
nice.
It was a great Grand Final. Wynnum are a long-serving club here in the, back from the BRL days. They were the dream team of the 80s that involved Wally Lewis, Gene Miles, Colin Scott, Greg Dowling, and that calibre of player.
Yep.
I've had a couple of lean years. This year, they're one of the teams that is one of the Broncos feeder clubs, and they had the services of Mitchell Dodds and Dane Carlisle, probably the most two notable in their team. And they come from sixth place, and it was up against the first place Tweed Heads, who only lost two games all year going to the grand final. Led 10-0 early to Tweed Heads, but the Wynnum variety of the Seagulls come storming home to win 16-10, and that was the Queensland Cup grand final over for 2011.
Who won the man of the match, Bud, and how many people were at the game?
Yeah, man of the match was Jake Granville, who actually also won Player of the Year, another fullback, so probably unfortunate that he's in an era where so many good fullbacks are in the NRL. And the crowd was given at 6,000, but there's no way there was only 6,000 there. I think there was, you probably could safely double that because, if there was only 6,000, it's impossible for there only to be 6,000 there.
Whereabouts was it played?
Yeah. What was that, sorry?
Whereabouts was it played?
At Suncorp,
okay.
At Suncorp, so. And I think there might have been, because there's free entry to any rugby league player under the age of 18.
Ah, there you go.
I'd say that they were meant to be counted, but I'd say they'd miss them.
And it was played on Sunday, correct? So everyone didn't have...
No, they made the move last year to play it on a Sunday, on an NRL free Sunday.
Yep.
And, it's a good move, and it was a good crowd and a great atmosphere. So it was Queensland Cup footy, and the Mighty Dolphins won reserve grade. Well, I'll just get that on
there. Very good, mate. We have to ask, next year, who's the favourites?
In the Queensland Cup?
In the Queensland Cup.
Yeah, you'd probably have to say Wynnum will be hard to beat again. They're not going to lose a lot of that talent, and they'll probably go close again. They're actually coached by former Cronulla Cowboys and Broncos halfback Paul Green.
Very, very good. Okay, we're moving on to another issue that arose. Not surprisingly for Not the Footy Show fans, but Josh Maguire, we made the comment in at least two podcasts in the last week or so that he's in great form. He's one of those players that's really turned his career around, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Maybe the form of the competition. But what else did we mention last week, Matty?
He's ineligible to play for Australia until 2013.
So what happened yesterday?
They named him in the Kangaroos train-on squad.
Like, first of all, there are a couple of things that concern me. One is, why isn't the ARL listening to the podcast? You know, that's really disappointing.
That's the major one, really.
I should just stop there.
Yeah.
Because we identified this, and honestly, people, if we're identifying it, it's not that hard to figure out. But Jeff Carr, how can he ever complain about Origin eligibility midway through the season ever again if he can't even know what's going on with a player who... That memo had to have gone across his desk last year about Josh Maguire choosing Samoa, because there was the whole issue about Dan Vito attached to it. And Vito decided not to play for Samoa because it would have wrecked his Queensland eligibility. How did Jeff Carr... I mean, he blamed the selectors selectively in his press release, but how does this happen? How does the ARL, who I don't know how long they're in charge of this kind of thing anymore with the long-awaited and still hasn't arrived independent commission to happen. How does this happen, Matt?
I have got no idea, Woz. I wish I knew, because it is disgraceful, really, because it's embarrassing.
How does the poor kid react? Like, he would have got the phone call and thought, oh, beauty.
Yeah, well, he would have thought they'd changed the rules or something. But because I know he's been ruling the decision, you know, to play for him, well, because this, you know, last year he was in horrible form and thought, well, the Australian or Queensland jersey's a long way away. Even a Broncos jersey, you know, he was really a fringe player for the Broncos last year. So he chose that, and I know in the great form he's been in, he's been ruling that decision, and he thought, well, oh, well, they've changed the rule, and then the Broncos were bamboozled by it. As we've seen on Twitter, they thought, well, they're throwing him in as a kind of an emerging player type of scenario to give him a bit of experience for down the track, but it just seems that it was an absolutely terrible blunder.
Yeah, it's very disappointing. Again, the biggest question out of all this, again, is does Samoa actually have any test matches to play this off-season? Because you'd hope that they do, just for his sake. And I wonder if he plays in any test matches this off-season, does that mean that his eligibility gets another year tacked on the end? Do we know about those rules?
He won't play even, I'm not aware of Samoa's international schedule, but he won't play for Samoa now, from now on.
That's where it's stupid. If he's locked in for 2 years, he should just play for him.
Well, it's the old rule that you can't play for 2 years afterwards.
Yeah, since the last game.
That's where the game loses itself a little bit, because we've got to build up those nations. And like the fact that New Zealand will pick guys from Tonga, Samoa and all that kind of stuff when it suits them, and then put them obviously in their team, that's great, but you also need to build up the game. We've got another World Cup coming up, I think, in 2013. Like, we've got to try and get more test matches for these guys. And I personally love the idea that you play for someone, if you play for the first time, that's who you play for, if you've got the heritage. But evidently the NRL doesn't, or ARL doesn't know what's going on. It's time to make a prediction, Matty Duncan. We have got 1,000 things to choose from here on Not The Footy Show's prediction for the grand final. First up, what is it, Nick?
Here we go, Matty. We would like your final score, and obviously who's in front.
Yep, I think it will be a cliffhanger, and I'm going for a 21-20 scoreline in favour of the Warriors.
Oh, yes, I like your style there. Very good. What about the half-time score?
Yeah, half-time. I think they could go locked together at half-time. I think it will be 10-10 at half-time.
10-10, we'll lock it in. And your Clive Churchill medalist, man
of the
match.
Yeah, I gave it earlier. I think Maloney.
James Maloney.
Okay, now some of the exotics. We're not doing any crazy exotics this year, people. I'll do for the grand final because people just got confused. First try scorer.
First try scorer, that means locks the key.
there he is, bringing it back. All right, last try scorer.
Big Manu will come home and everyone will be smiling and patting him on the head.
What, because he dropped the ball or because he got the try?
Because he got the try.
Okay, just
leading
sure.
on to the next one, the first knock on.
First knock on. Let's go the same one there, Manu, and they'll all come across and pat him on the head.
First penalty.
First penalty. Oh, turnstile. What now?
Very good. And then the tiebreaker in it all, probably in the end. We've got Matt Checken and we've got Tony Archer running the show on Sunday. How many penalties in the game?
Let's go for 11 penalties.
Wow. Ooh. They like the whistle this weekend, according to Matty Duncan. Now, buddy, you've got sports fever on a Thursday morning, and no doubt there'll be a lot of rugby league spoken about that this Thursday.
We've got a big guest this week. Yeah, yourself, or you're back on the show.
Oh, there we go.
Wow, he's giving him a rap too.
To be fair, I give the guys at Sports Fever, Andre and Matt, a lot of credit, because they could have got me on after Origin 3 and bagged the life out of me. They decided not to. Their wise decision, because I probably couldn't have taken it. I was really devastated. And they're bringing me back. So, mate, what are we going to be talking about?
Oh, well, we're getting you to preview the big game, Woz. You're our expert. We haven't spoken a lot of NRL in particular since you've been on. You're our NRL man, so, you're all about the grand final, Woz.
Okay, so I expect the checks in the mail as your NRL man. That's the official title?
That'll be on the way, Woz. You keep a lookout for that one.
Just like the ones in your letterbox, bud. That's excellent. That's on Thursday, 8 a.m. till 9 a.m. You can follow that at www.1015fm.com.au.
Nailed it.
Well, I don't think about it. I actually get it out of
the
way.
He's got it down, yeah.
And you can listen to that streamed online, everybody. Matty Duncan, you're rounding out part one of Not The Footy Show's grand final special. We will maybe not speak to you again on this fine show in 2011. Mm. But I do believe everyone is wanting to know, will you actually be going to the grand final as the tribe spoken, and you're not going?
We're not going. We'll be in Sydney. We're deciding where to watch it, but the tribe has spoken and have blown up. They said, can't be can't risk going to a grand final that Manly might win.
Probably so a fair call.
What happened? Yeah. What happens to all the tickets then, mate?
No, well, we sort out that another fella's sold them on to a couple of Manly fans.
Well, there you go. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm devastated.
Devastated.
I would have liked to go there, but it was a 4-1 vote in favour.
Very good. Well, in that case, people, you will possibly hear a little conversation after the game if I have the ability to actually talk to him. Just a very quick chat about the result and the fact that he was glad that he wasn't there when the Warriors won, and all those mates of yours who didn't want to go see Manly win, and they'll feel very silly about themselves, because we're hoping for a Warriors victory very much on grand final day. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay. May Duncan, thank you very much for your continued participation in Not the Footy Show this year. I know Nick has something he wants to really say to you.
Well, that's interesting. He's put me on the spot here. Is there something particularly you want me to say? He was.
I was just going to get you to repeat what you said before about how you enjoyed listening to him the most.
I was like,
but,
well, I'd already said that.
Well, you can say it again. I just thought you speak about him so highly every time.
Yeah, special thanks from me, Matty. Like I said, it really has been the highlight of my week listening to your segment on the podcast. I think you've done an excellent job, and particularly with the predictions you've made coming out of the Queensland Cup, it's really good to have an expert from a lot of footy that we probably don't see too much of down here. So yeah, just a special thanks from me and all the boys from Not the Footy Show for all your hard work this year.
Oh, you're making me tear up, boys. I appreciate it. It's a ball every week. I love it.
It is good. Talking footy, that's our deal here on Not the Footy Show, and one of the best is May Duncan. Thanks, buddy.
Love you, boys.
Not the Footy Show.
Okay, there's part one of Not the Footy Show's grand final special, episode 88. Now, we've got DC Chapman joining me in the second hour. There will be an interview with Andy Raymond that Nick and I did, but we're putting in the second hour to join our DC's interviews with Wendell Saylor and Maria Cialis. So stick around, make sure you download the second podcast, and there's plenty in it, especially a big announcement about the show regarding its future. So hopefully you guys can tune in for the second hour. Not the Footy Show's grand final podcast. Go the Warriors.
Not there. No, we're not there.
Not the Footy Show. Show?
announcing.
Darth Vader's in the house.
No, unfortunately, I got a bit tied up last week, doing Celebrity Apprentice at the moment, and but, you know, was very keen to get on your show, and so it's my miscommunication there, but it's good to be on one of the most important weeks in rugby league.
See, there's proof. Wendell is on part two. Download it.
You've been sleeping over there.